What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You were listening. You were watching the Complex Sneaker Show. As always, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, my two friends to my right, Mr. Matt Welty.
Surf's up.
Yeah, I know that you're trolling. We're going to get to that with all his new language. Oh. He's trolling.
I'm not trolling at all.
And the Jack Harlow tweet,
we're going to get to it. I missed the post on X.
Any IG storied something already, surf's up. Wearing Jordan 3s.
I'm not trolling.
Okay, you're coming up with a whole new language. To my left, Mr. Brendan Dunn.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Interesting week. It's only Tuesday. It feels like it's been a 10-day week.
Sprint. Yeah, marathon.
Yeah. A lot to get to today.
Yes, we have a big guest. We also have some rumors to run down, some Nike SB rumors, some Nike LeBron rumors, some Adidas Fear of God rumors. What else is going on?
I finally met Andre Agassi.
Huge. That deserves maybe an episode on its own.
Huge week for you also. Yes. A New Balance collab that you seem to be excited about, maybe?
One and only Mr. Jack Harlow.
Going to get to all that this episode. Think we should start with the unfortunate news, the passing of Dallas Penn.
Yes, we want to talk about Dallas for sure.
Yeah, just someone who we had on this podcast. You know, the world works in mysterious ways. I remember I was in LA. It was 2020, I believe. I think it was height of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was in LA and we had a cancellation on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking about like days before who could we get.
Yeah.
So thankful of that cancellation. We had Dallas Penn on and I'm so happy. That was like honestly probably the last time spoke to him at length, which would make sense during the pandemic. And we had an hour with him and there's some quotes that we resurfaced last week that kind of encapsulated just what he was all about. Mm-hmm. Basically, we were kind of riffing on how he used to film sneaker shopping, like deals kind of. Mm-hmm. And we had this joke that like he started sneaker shopping.
He said, you know, I did JLP.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. and you know, just he ended that quote with like kind of that segment with like, I didn't invent sneakers or the smile. I'm just trying to
spread both through time.
Yeah. Spread both through time. And I met him, I think, early Complex years. I remember a big part of me and Dallas Penn was Kid Cudi era. He would always be at the Kid Cudi listening parties and any party that he had when Cudi was coming up.
Okay.
Which makes sense because they were both New York out and about on the come up.
Yeah.
Dallas was always there.
Yeah.
And I remember if there was one person like, you know, you're young in your career and you're like, who's going to be there? Who am I going to talk to?
It was always Dallas.
There was nothing better than walking into a party and seeing Dallas Penn like front and center. I knew that like, oh, Dallas is there. Like the night's going to be great. I could talk to him all the time, be comfortable talking to him. And just like such a trailblazer in terms of entertaining content. And very fortunate that we got to work closely with him. Combat Jack Show came to Complex, obviously mutual friends, but a true one of one. He's going to be missed. I'm just so thankful. Like I said, the world works in mysterious ways that on a whim, we got him on the podcast and got to chop it up with him. And that'll like his legacy, both the stories about him and the content that he created will live on forever. So
yeah, I mean, it's hard to break down in a few titles what Dallas Penn did or who he was, but he was a on the ground sneaker and style historian, a true New Yorker, a totem of hip hop, one of the best storytellers who ever lived. You talk about the stories about him, but just the way he could put you in a place and through his blog and through the videos he did. I mean, I remember reading Dallas Penn stuff in high school and seeing videos like Ghetto Big Mac that he did with Rafi Cam and being
still go watch that.
A literal teenager and doing this food hack they thought of where you
unreal.
You get the fries on the side instead of ordering the Big Mac and then you put together a Big Mac on a budget and you can ask them for free Mac sauce because Mac sauce was free. These were Dallas Penn innovations. And again, just reading his stuff in high school and then getting to meet him in real life, it was the Jordan Mellow M9 launch, I remember. And this is after I had moved to New York City to do sneaker writing full time. And Dallas was somebody who I had so looked up to for years at that point. And I remember introducing myself and telling him, I'm such a fan of the work you've done. These are people who shaped the way I think about writing and telling stories and using language. And he said, don't be a fan, be a friend. And it was such a cool introduction to somebody who I looked up to, and he was putting myself on his level immediately. And then somebody who I got to see over the next decade at launch events, coming through the office at times, inviting me to things. He been to parties at my house, eating dumplings in my living room, things like that. I remember doing sneaker deals with him. I sold him the pair of the Doran Becker Air Jordan 10s because that shoe was, I forget the kid's name who designed it, but the initials were DP.
Nice.
And I remember Dallas Penn coming up to the Complex office at the time to buy the shoes for me. I sold them to him for retail. I was like, look, I'm not going to hit you over the head.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sent him the picture of the receipt. He was like, how much? I just sent him a photo of the receipt. Just pay me whatever. And he comes to the office. He's got the cash. He's like, I'm not going to nickel and dime you, man. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Whatever. He's like, no, I'm not going to nickel and dime you. And then he hands me the exact change for the shoes. And it's like, you know, $170 and
plus
15
tax.
Cents. And
15
he,
cents.
He hands me the literal nickel and the dime. Just such a special person. And somebody who really lived sneakers and hip hop and polo and lifestyle in New York and was there firsthand. Probably the person who knew the most about Timberlands and what they meant. Just somebody who was a firsthand primary source for the type of stuff that gets regurgitated on the internet through decades. Somebody who was an invaluable resource for just learning how. And even in his older age, he never got tired of being on the ground. He would be at a House of Hoops release for Red Foamposites, 30, 40 years old, and still out there with a handy cam documenting what was happening and getting caught up in the crush of people surging for these sneakers. Just somebody who always had that passion, no matter how old he got or no matter how much he saw in sneakers.
You had a great tweet. I know that I was kidding around with your language and the sayings of new shoes, but like people like pointed out your tweet to me, like,
oh yeah.
And I think you said something, but I want you to read it. Like he never, something like he was, him
he
being
was,
cool.
He was the coolest guy who was never too cool for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I saw him. I remember the first time I met Dallas, it was at a Fila party in late 2013, early 2014. I just started working at Complex and I was like a complete nobody. And we're like waiting to go into, there was an open bar and I'm waiting to go into the screening of some film that they had. And I was getting a drink and I missed it. So I'm like, oh crap, I'm not going to go see the film. And I look over in the corner and it's Dallas Penn and Mayhem Loren, but I didn't know them at all personally. Mm-hmm. And I just like started talking to them and they just like, we had this like 30-minute long conversation with like two New York City legends. And like, it was funny because there was like a Fila bucket hat or something like that there. And that was on display in like true low life fashion. They're like, I need that hat. And like one of them had just like stuffed it like down the pants and like walked out of the place. And I'm like, this is the most like low life stuff, like
real life in person.
And then I remember I had seen him like a few months later and I wasn't expecting him to remember me like at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at Afropunk and he was there with his wife and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? I think we talked at that part. And he's like, yeah, I remember 100%. You work at Complex.
Matt Welty. Yeah, we see you, Matt Welty.
Yeah, and then there was
he
like...
He always would repeat his Matt Welty.
But,
yeah.
You know, there was a bunch of times where I had hit him up.
I know. I was scrolling through my old texts with him.
Yeah.
Getting quite emotional at our exchanges over the years. I loved running into him Eastern Parkway quote. Or first Saturday at the Brooklyn Museum. Or I remember... the Roy De Carava show, just him walking me through all the photographs there. Again, if you haven't read a lot of his writing, definitely go to the Blue Cheese
and
web
the videos.
Blog.
You could listen, the videos, you could spend a weekend binging his videos. It's constant entertainment.
I thought this was funny. And I had written a story in 2016 for Halloween, and it was in your sneakerheads tell their like their biggest sneakerhead horror story.
Mm.
And at the time it was just like, this is the most Dallas thing. He goes, I own a pair of crisp all white Dunk Highs, whiter than the stuff that Tony is doing time for, Taylor Swift white. I was on my way to hang out and I was pushing my cousin's whip while he was out of town. Between moving my foot from the gas pedal to the brake, I scuffed the heel of my sneakers, so I always keep a chancleta in the car for me to slip my foot in while driving so I don't ruin the right foot heel of a new pair of kicks.
Amazing. There remember when he was on crutches and he would put the baby shoe on his crutch? His foot was messed up for a while. He had trouble walking and he would have the set of crutches with him and he would put an infant shoe. We got to get a photo of that on the crutch. Just so dedicated to being fresh at all times at any cost.
And even to the end, he was very active on Facebook, doing a lot of posts, like even the night before he passed. And he had said that, you know, he's like, I'm on my deathbed. But he was like letting go all of his like thoughts about stuff. And he was talking about, he was going on and on about the the Nina Chanel Abney Air Jordan 3s.
And really?
Like, he's like, do I need these shoes? And he was like, had this post where he was contemplating with himself internally whether he wanted the sneakers or not.
All the way to the end.
Yeah. Yep. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Love you, Dallas.
Big legend.
Yep.
Contributions are many.
Thoughts to everyone close to him. And
Premium Pete, hold your head up.
Yeah, absolutely. We see you, Pete. Always love you.
CS, everybody. Let's get to some sneaker news.
Yes.
Some lighter topics.
Yep.
This past weekend, Jack Harlow teased his New Balance 1906R.
What did you say? Heck yeah, baby doll.
No, that's not say? What you I said. Something.
This was after the sneakers leaked on social media, obviously forced his hand, and he had to post them.
That's not what I said.
Tell us your first reaction. I've been waiting. Jack Harlow New Balance.
I've been waiting to use this phrase.
That's
for
why
a while.
I think you're trolling.
No, I'm not trolling.
Very calculated.
Exactly.
I'm not trolling. It's not trolling. It's just like something that you want to say.
Well, orchestra. I said. It. I just looked and I was.
What
way
is it?
Off.
What is it?
I said hot diggity dog.
Yes.
It's funny. Let's have fun.
Hot diggity dog. That's his new one of the week.
You've never had that reaction when you've seen something.
No.
You love these.
Either way, the shoe looks awesome. It's not what I expected. It's been quite a while since Jack Harlow first signed to New Balance. I know that you were there at the track in Boston at the New Balance event. It was this big New Balance celebration. It wasn't a Jack Harlow celebration. It was just a New Balance celebration. He happened to be signing the deal.
He performed. I interviewed him.
At the time, officially signs the deal February 2022. So we're over 2 years past him signing. He's been in some ad campaigns for them, and it's like
Kawhi Leonard adjacent.
Yeah, wearing 550s, and you're just like, hey, are you like going to give this guy any sort of product, or is it just going to be like another colorway of a white 550 with like his, you know, Kentucky blue or Louisville red, you know?
Yeah.
On it. But the shoes have been, they got leaked, and he officially unveils them.
I like that too. They got leaked, and then a couple hours later. Was it a couple hours late or days?
Next day.
It makes you think that that was much more reactionary.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
The shoes themselves, though, not what I mean. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. Not what people were expecting. Mm-hmm. In a good way. Pleasant surprise. 1906R. Green sole, outsole, and like a little bit of the mudguard on it, and then it has a floral print upper, crushed velvet tongue in laces.
I like it.
And the insoles have a very like first half of the 20th century man and woman dressed on the thing. The guy has a suit on, the woman has a big bonnet with a dress. Leads me to maybe have a conspiracy that maybe the shoes are inspired by the Kentucky Derby.
It would make sense. Yeah, that's a logical connection
he's
for him.
He's big at the Kentucky Derby.
Do you think they were inspired at all by the Grandma's Couch Adidas? Because they look a little bit like that unheard of collaboration.
Little, I don't think that they were inspired by it, but yeah.
But
which ended up being a good shoe. I had to walk it back on that one and like come full circle, because it's like I didn't hate on it. I just was like, oh, not my favorite. But then aged really well. I think that these Jack Harlow 1906s, is it a contender? It hasn't, obviously hasn't even come out yet, but.
You're calling these things early lately.
We'll see.
Hey, I'm not saying, obviously it's not sneaker of the year. Yeah. I'm just saying contender to slip into maybe the top 10 conversation.
Who knows?
I think it's a tough spot for Jack Harlow though, because I think that his stock has gone down since he announced the New Balance deal, and there's not as much energy around him. So I think it's going to be harder for one of his sneakers to hit really, really hard.
I feel like last year that I don't want no whips and chains.
Went
that's
number one, didn't it?
That was a really big song.
All right. Still.
I don't like the funny part is like, I think Jack Harlow seems like a really like decent dude. I don't really know much about him. Don't really listen to his music.
Yeah.
So it's always the tie-in of like, you want to be really into the artist to like the shoes.
A la Action Bronson New Balances.
But, you know, he seems like a good enough guy just to kind of like rally around, and you're just like, hey, I can mess with this shoe. Mm. And true New Balance guy, as we saw in sneaker shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I like them.
Yeah?
Can we pick? Floral print.
What's the fit going to be like?
Joe deep in thought right now.
I'm not sure.
trying to piece it together.
People were mentioning that maybe they're reminiscent of what would be a big Brendan Dunn shoe in the past.
Hmm.
Floral print Janoskis back in the...
Yeah, I owned a couple pairs of those. The Digi Camo, the Digi Floral.
Mm. Yeah.
I was a big fan. I think I resold at least one of them when there was still some resell to squeeze out of those sneakers. By the way, how was y'all's weekend?
Chill.
Wealthy.
Oh.
Historic, right?
There we go.
Historic, right?
Had the moment.
Let's not undersell it.
No.
Yes, had the moment.
What happened this past weekend for you?
I know we had tried to manifest it on the podcast.
Yes.
I have a DM to Agassi. He didn't read. I tried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't take credit. I wanted people to know that I couldn't take credit for this because I did try. I know even Ant was trying behind the scenes, but
I think Brendan Dunn's actually the one that
he
facilitated.
Look,
happy to play a small part.
He did it from the Fountain Blue in Miami, connected the dots. I was
tell us what
Agassi's
happened.
DM.
So don't get the bike credit. This is Welty's moment.
Yes,
you had linked me. We had randomly. This is how things always happen.
Yeah,
you get a celebrity or a designer that you want to talk to who you've been chasing for years. You trying to talk to Tinker Hatfield, and you get to talk to him through Miller Genuine Draft.
There we go.
Exactly.
So Andre Agassi was coming to New York City because he was doing something for Lifetime Fitness. They were doing a pickleball expo.
Mm-hmm.
He's big into pickleball these days. He went and did a talk and then played with some other pickleball stars. But they were like, hey, do you want to have a chance to talk to him? I was sure.
Well,
crazy part was that they're like, hey, we're going to set up the interview. And I didn't hear back for a week. And I follow up twice. Hey, just want to see if this is happening. And,
we gave them a little bit of background. Like Matt Welty is a lifetime Andre Agassi fan.
So,
has been wanting to interview him for a decade.
In my head, I was like, since I didn't hear back from a week and I hit them twice, I'm the sort of person that's like, I guess they just aren't doing it. So I wasn't going to go. I was just like, you know what? I don't want to like force myself into a situation.
Yeah.
I get a email at like 9:15 in the morning, like an
day of,
like an hour plus before the event. Hey, do you want to come? And I was like, crap, I need to like run through the shower, like hop in an Uber,
get there,
wait around. A couple people interviewed him before me, and then they were running out of time, but I did get a few minutes to talk to him, which was, it was good. It felt like a lot because I had to like, as you guys can go see the episode, I don't want to get too far into it, but he meant a lot to me as a kid growing up, adopted, being Armenian, et cetera, and him being a icon in the culture. But
did you unpack that for him in the short time you had?
I did. And it's not like I bungled it.
Yeah.
But I was like, crap, I have like 5 minutes to talk to this guy. And there's like this one thing I want to tell you. And it's going to like,
important.
I'm glad
it's important, but it's going to hit him like a sledgehammer, you know, like it's a lot to just be like, hey, by the way, it's something I need to tell you. You know, like, but yeah, really nice guy. Not, you know how they say like, don't meet
heroes?
Your heroes because they're going to let you down.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't let down.
So. I'm happy you got that flick off too.
Beautiful. Yeah. Joe was texting me that morning. He's like, do I need to show up?
I was going to pull up.
Yeah.
I would have been like A-Rod at the Met Gala. Remember when he was taking the photo of J-Lo?
Yeah.
I would have been there.
Here
I was ready to go.
Here for
I was,
you.
I said, make sure you get a photo. If you need me to pull up to get the photo, I would.
Well, the interview should be live on the site now, so please do go read that. Happy we checked that box.
Yes.
Thank Iconic you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate your help in facilitating something that was going to happen. It was weird because it was birthday week. I wasn't really like trying to celebrate it, you know, and it was just like a weird thing that gets thrown your way in life. And I guess
funny how things work out.
Yep.
Quite a present. I was in Miami over the weekend on my F1 tip. Nothing big to report there. I was kind of trying to chase down Adidas CEO Bjørn Golden. I saw he was in town.
He was there.
Yeah, but it felt like.
Describe. Hold on.
What?
Let's unpack.
He had a Red Bull Racing hat on. Adidas is about to sign Mercedes.
When you're saying
what's up
you're
with
trying
that?
To, okay, when you're trying, what are you on the, is it called the grid? What are you on the grid? You're on the grid chasing him down.
Young Martin Brundle.
What? Let's unpack. So did he try to get his whereabouts or what was it?
Triangulating a little bit. No, I just saw that he was in town and then he was at the Inter Miami game, and I was like, oh, should I go out there and try and find him somehow and get 20 minutes? I'm not saying I was anywhere near close or even close to putting in the effort. I decided to just relax over the weekend
there
instead.
We go.
But it was in the back of my mind.
Of course.
I left a comment on his IG asking if we could meet up at Live on Sunday.
Did you really? Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Is it still up there?
It's still up there.
All right, screen grab.
I didn't end up going to Live, but
you,
I was leaving.
Khaled.
I was leaving the next morning and a hunched over Busta Rhymes was walking back to his hotel room as I was waiting for an Uber at 5 a.m.
Amazing.
Okay.
Nice time in Miami, though. No sneaker stuff to report. But again, we'll get back to sneakers and F1 at some point in the future.
Yes.
More sneaker news we want to talk about. Debuted by friend of the program, KO from ATATF. Mm-hmm. I feel like they get like the blog/Instagram account gets a weekly shout out. They do good stuff. But he's been a big proponent of the Adidas AE1.
That's right.
Looks like Adidas actually slid him an early pair of Anthony Edwards rivalry lows.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that Adidas is taking advantage of the energy around Anthony Edwards by making lifestyle footwear for him. Although the way people are into the AE1, you could argue that's a lifestyle shoe right now.
Well, Wale. You know what they're saying?
Wale popping out.
You know what
they're
saying? You know what they're trying?
Oh, he's going to stamp it again.
The narrative they're trying to push, right? Well,
don't say they when it's you.
I'm not. No. I didn't. No, this isn't my narrative.
Wait, what narrative?
No, the narrative people are trying to push online that you can't wear AE1s with jeans that they can't.
I thought you were going to say the narrative that this might be a shoe of the year.
Oh, that's not a narrative.
Is Wale getting early pairs?
Are you trying to call Wale right now? Are you calling Wale?
He was wearing the one pair that was exclusive to the kids' basketball program.
Yeah.
Which it was like the tie-dye one that we had spoken about on here.
Yeah.
But
didn't pick up.
I think it's cool to see them trying to work it the best way that they can.
Yeah.
You know,
shoes available at Foot Locker right now. I think it's a Foot Locker exclusive.
Wale's been getting the fits off.
Absolutely. Welty, I want to follow up on the conversation we had about Supreme and Nike from last week. I actually had a former Nike employee who worked on some of the Supreme product. He slid it to my DMs, and he was saying that Supreme has total freedom when it comes to selecting the projects it's working
that's
on.
That's good. That's a good antidote.
Yeah, he was saying basically that it's totally related to any overarching corporate strategy. I feel like there have to be some exceptions to this, like the DN.
That has, like, I don't know, but that has to be, like, they didn't just happen to pick that out of the archive.
For sure, 100%.
That makes sense.
Just an interesting follow-up. We were speculating about the extent to which Supreme's Nike collaborations were pushed upon them by Nike, and this is somebody who used to work on that stuff, has touched a lot of that product, saying basically, no, Supreme is just idiosyncratic and has the freedom and the ability to pick out what it wants and chase those shoes down.
That's good clarity.
I want to discuss some rumors real quick, some things flying across my desk. Again, we'll put the disclaimer on them that these are rumors. We don't have them totally firmed up just yet, but sounds like Nike is doing a Wizard of Oz SB Dunk.
So they've already done that
in the past. Yeah, that three pack, right? 2015.
The only one out of those three shoes that I won't say is a classic or anything, because I had to like look it up to be like, hey, do you remember these? The only one I feel like I've seen.
Yeah, or is memorable a little
memorable
bit.
Is the Dorothy pair.
Yeah.
You know, the shoe is fashioned after her plaid dress that she wears, and then it's like the front of the shoe's blown out black, a la Wicked Witch of the West.
There's a red patent leather one in there.
That's supposed to be the ruby red slippers, but the red patent leather pair doesn't really look great from that pack. It doesn't really stand out as that.
It also had the same design language as some of those Jordan 11 SB Dunk flips at the time, like the Concord and the Space Jam, and then there's the black and silver Tin Man Dunk High. Yeah, 2015 is near the low point for Nike SB, so nobody really remembers those, but I'm told that there's a new Wizard of Oz SB Dunk coming. You'd want it to be a ruby red slipper type of thing. I don't know if that's exactly what they're going to go for.
Well, if they do it like super like sparkly-esque, I can imagine that hitting.
Yeah. Legends of the Summer style, maybe?
Yeah.
But yeah, an officially licensed collaboration from what I'm hearing. Okay. Also, I think the next SB Air Jordan 4 is going to land in May.
What color?
Windows. I don't know. I'm not ready to commit to that. I mean, Soul Retriever said navy. I don't know.
There's been a lot of rumors about that.
The white with just the navy.
Same blocking with the navy. Okay. I don't know personally.
Are you still disappointed about the white and green Air Jordan 4?
I just don't own it.
I know. I but like, it. No. It being like...
I've been on the record saying that when it first previewed, I was like, oh, I wouldn't be into it. It's just a shoe that looks... Anyone who's wearing that shoe, the shoe looks great.
Would you wear it yourself?
No.
Still.
There's no situation. So I know you said it was one of the weirdest fits for you, or one of your most self-conscious fits when you ended up wearing the Guava ones. I mean, the Guava Union 4s.
Yep.
There'd never be a situation where you're like, hey, I got the SB4s episode of Sneaker Shopping. I think I'm going to break them out.
No.
All right, there it is.
They look too good on everyone else that I would not want.
And also, I know you said that you thought that I was trolling with this fit, not trolling with this fit. For anyone who can, you can go way back in the archives.
With the outfit you're wearing right now?
Yes. What I had said was, is when the first Air Jordan that like I had broken my come out of my shell a little bit and said, hey, I really want these. As you remember, as we just talked about, Guava Union Jordan 4s.
Yes.
Remember me?
I remember.
I remember that too.
And I said, hey, I think the vibe on it is a pair of like 90s-esque short shorts looking like you're working out at Muscle Beach, California. And I kind of wanted, and I didn't break out those, but I said, I want to wear these today. I don't know why. I just wanted to wear them.
Okay.
But I was trying to, and I said, Cowabunga, surfs up. A la Muscle Beach.
Post the photos. Keep the photos. We can
those
put
shorts
in the
are short. Which is fine. Yes. I like them.
Skies out, thighs out, baby.
I love short shorts.
They're fine. We did just have a psychological safety training here at work. And I don't know if the length of shorts is fitting
for that. Do I have to do the fingertips?
Short. Those shorts are short.
If they pass beyond your fingertips. Two more little, again, rumors, total shreds of sneaker info, but we could put them out there and see if we can firm them up later on. I'm hearing that Jerry Lorenzo and Adidas are working on re-upping the deal.
Okay.
That's crazy because it feels like he's only had one sneaker release.
I know, but there was such a long period of gestation when it was first signed. Yep. The other thing I'm hearing is that Nike is targeting, and these dates often change, spring 26 for LeBron James's last season, and that that would line up serendipitously with the Nike LeBron 23, a nice way to end given the number.
Are you trying to
break
LeBron's final season is going to be 2026?
I'm just telling you what I'm told Nike presented internally.
It's interesting to think about how much, obviously, them being his biggest sponsor, but how tapped in they are to his playing career.
Yeah. I'm sure some of these things they know early.
Yeah,
I don't know anything else about that, but just wanted to put it out there.
That's pretty big news.
Other sneaker news of things that maybe we've been waiting for and maybe didn't. I don't know if it lived up to the expectations. Skepta finally dropping a Puma collection.
I want to see more from it. I do like that they have a little bit of that Prada America's Cup.
I do not
vibe to them. You think I'm making that up?
I just don't see I know you said that first on, and I thought maybe in my head I had seen that before. I looked at the shoes 10 times, and I just can't see it.
Am I making it up, Joe?
I don't know. I'm fully deep in Prada's America.
This guy,
Prada America Cup.
So you can't unsee the America Cup,
matter what. I'm focused on one silo, one silo
only.
Can we
talk about the pair you had to, not you had to, but you went out of your way to procure the other day?
Yeah, full Napa leather, Prada America's Cup.
Straight out of Italy?
I usually,
trip to Italy?
I haven't done a patent leather yet because I like OG, but full Napa buttery leather.
Did you get a lot of comments when you wore them on the Conor McGregor?
Not
Jake
only did
Jim
I
Hall?
Get comments, I got text about them. Text about you popped out in the Prada America's Cup.
Set the internet ablaze?
I wouldn't say that, but more than usual is what I would say. People were texting. And I went on to get two more, so.
Can't slow it down. Any other feedback you want to give on Welty's trolling lately? I didn't know if we needed an extended segment on that.
I don't think I've been trolling.
He said it, not me.
No, his language troll.
Oh.
He's going to come out next week, and it's going to be gosh darn it, hee-haw. That's literally
golly
where we're
G
at.
Golly G. Willikers.
Yeah, exactly.
Golly G.
Holy
Willikers,
shnikes.
This new SB
it's gonna, you'll see. Remember I said this.
We're having fun on the internets.
Yeah, exactly. Shouts to DP.
Always.
And we're going to call him here. The Military Blue Force have finally come out. It came out last weekend. Do we feel like the release of that shoe has lived up?
Fairly quiet, to be honest. I could be wrong. What do you guys see?
I didn't see a lot of chaos. I think that there were a lot of pairs made. I think that some of the numbers out there are exaggerated. But
the biggest number that I saw, and this isn't confirming that's it, but just out of speculation, was someone had put out there that 1.7 million pairs. That feels really high.
Again, I'll say that I think some of the numbers out there are exaggerated.
Okay.
Cool shoe. Doesn't seem to be too much controversy. It seems like people are happy about them other than the name switch. Happy it's here. Maybe I'll try and get a pair somewhere down the line.
It's funny because I know a lot of speculation early on where this is going to be one of the biggest sneakers of the year. And we saw a lot build up to it. And obviously people are happy that they got it. Classic OG sneaker with the Nike Air on the heel tab, but maybe just didn't see as much buzz around it over the weekend. I don't know.
I would agree with that. Maybe everyone got them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, yeah, just...
Usually when everyone gets them, it's actually less... It's
right,
more quiet.
Right.
Other blue shoes in the same vein from 1989. PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
got it.
I was just looking. Khaled just got his
Air Flight 89 collaboration. Little,
yeah,
little bit of a weird time to do a Boeing sneaker collaboration or a shoe
referencing yes. Boeing jets in any way. Yes. I agree.
But I think the shoes actually look really
luxe,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, not my favorite model, but they look good.
I love the 89s.
You've always been an 89 guy. The black and white pair, Joe.
Oh. Seven straight summers. Not the endless summer, but seven straight summers.
Important distinction.
Okay. I was 89 heavy.
If Nike,
heavy. Check the IG.
If Nike comes out with the Black Cat 89.
Napa leather?
I'm holding the Black Cat 4 sacred. Like I said last week, love the 89s. Black Cat 4s is just what it is. Black Cat 4s. All black suede 89s, I like them. But no, there's only one for me, Black Cat 4s.
You were able to get a pair early of
Come on.
Of the PJ Tucker Flight 89s.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
With the suitcase?
Yeah, maybe a little trip. Maybe I should have went to F1 with him just to flaunt the suitcase. Although him next to a Nike suitcase, who knows? He would have probably wanted to distance himself from me, the big Nike logo.
I know you don't like white shoes. That's a lighter color shoe. Is that a shoe that you think you can get off?
Yes. Light jeans, white t-shirt. It's summer. Where are we hitting? Happy hour. It's almost 70 degrees in New York City. I may pull up to one of these rooftops. The maybe a complex outing.
I do.
Really?
Yeah. I do think it was interesting.
Light
though.
Jeans, white t-shirt, crisp white tee.
They brought
maybe
back.
Maybe bring all the ice out. Who knows? It's almost summer.
Tell me how you feel about this, Brendan.
So you got me started.
As far as like release strategies go, because Better Generation, the company behind the release of the shoe. They were doing a Twitter, I don't want to say competition, but some sort of release where they're dropping Google Map locations, just like photos of
popped
them.
Popped out like K-Dot?
Yeah, I was going to say, dropping locations.
And then whoever can figure out where,
where
the location is, you have to comment underneath it.
You might have to get the dude Rainbolt, GeoGuessr extraordinaire. Wow. Sorry, that's a deep cut. Anyways, we do have a guest today.
Yes.
Lots of sneaker news to get to, but we also have an iconic guest.
Yep.
Let's bring her out.
Let's do it. Our guest on today's podcast is a legend who's worked in fashion for 30 years. She has had a hand in everything from designing bespoke outfits for Belly to being the driving force in Jay-Z's both formal and casual style. She's responsible for crafting some of the most iconic looks in music videos throughout history, some we'll get into today. In recent years, she has served as the creative director of Puma Hoops and was the driving force of the brand's first women's basketball line, a roster that included stars like Skylar Diggins-Smith and Breonna Stewart. She's also released multiple sneakers of her own on classic models like the Ralph Sampson Mid and the Prevail. It's an honor to have costume designer and creative director June Ambrose on the Complex Sneaker Show. Welcome, June. Thank you so much for taking the time. Busy morning after a busy night.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. How are you?
You know, I'm good. I did not partake in partying. I went to Club Bed.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I think was the best club ever.
Always the best.
The seats were nice.
No Met Gala parties were calling your name?
Oh, tons. But I had no FOMO this year. Okay. Last year really wore me out. I was good. I mean, you party till like 5 a.m. I had a morning TV hit at 7 a.m., so I think...
I was just telling them before you came on, I was in Miami this past weekend, and at 5 a.m., I was headed to the airport, and I saw Busta Rhymes leaving Liv to go back.
You understand, yeah. Because last year, I was at F1, too, so I know it all becomes a blur. But F1 was actually after the Met Gala last year.
Okay.
Got it.
So it all worked out, but this year, not so much.
Yeah. A real blur when the cars drive too fast. You know, just snap your neck. You worked on some F1 stuff?
Yeah, I did. I was launching my women's collab with Ferrari, and then we had Puma had announced their partnership with F1. So it's a good time to be on the tracks.
Yeah. We want to talk about that for sure. Let's talk about the sneakers we have on feet first.
Let's go.
As this customer around here, June, what do you got on feet?
I got on my Yohji Yamamoto Adidas.
Nice.
Yeah.
Some extra height on those?
Extra height. Extra dollar too.
Yeah, Y3, right?
I mean, these were like, this was like some serious premium pricing.
Do you remember how much?
It was like $800.
Yeesh.
But you know how you see a kick? I guess it's equivalent to like a Jordan that's like $10,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not equivalent, but equivalent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But like, I would spend more than that on a pair of heels. So,
yeah.
You know, why not for sneakers?
Why not?
Yeah.
A lot more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know for like a lot of guys, like taking it way back, it's like always like match the fitted to the sneakers. But you're a big
proponent. That's still happening.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, there's like people like Hat Club and stuff where they get all the crazy fitted.
It's
and
like
they
matching a purse to your like.
You but know, you're look. But you're a big proponent of hats as well. So do you ever take the hat into consideration with the shoe matching up or?
Yeah, the lid is important. It's like, first of all, let me just give you the trick on my hat situation.
Okay.
That's where I gain my height. So my hat or my heels. So if I'm low, I'm vertically challenged. So I'm vertically challenged. So I make up for it in the height of the gallon hat so that I can just look longer and more extended. So that's the trick of the trade. So if I can get a chunky platform sneaker, great. But if I can't, you know, I don't mind, you know, laying low and just, you know, making up that height with my hat.
Laying high.
Laying high.
Yeah, top hat.
But I do like to coordinate because I like to balance my bolt and tie it all back in.
Absolutely. There we go.
That's a dress code.
Balance the bolt. Another gem.
Plenty of gems on the way.
Oh, just getting started.
Full of, I'm a sound bite away.
Love it.
I'm doing the white and red big bubble Air Max ones. I actually had these on at the race this past weekend.
They look crispy. So
super chic.
You didn't really didn't have a wild Miami weekend.
I know. No one stepped on those.
Well, they knew to keep their distance. Yeah, when I'm in Liv, you know, I have a
tough guy behavior.
Yeah, nice circumference around me. That's right.
CDG Air Max Thunders brought these back out. I haven't worn these in a while. Comme des Garçons Nikes, but.
We're feeling very Japanese in this clip right now. Very futuristic.
Were the CDG sneakers anything that's ever like appealed to you over
the
years?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Comme. I'm a huge fan of just like, you know, Japanese collabs and just like anime, the whole idea of what Japan has kind of, how we have merged as a country, you know, stylistically. It's been it's inspired me my whole career. So
and they did the platform thing. I don't know if you've seen the Comme des Garçons Cortez is with the big old platform on them.
Oh, they just... burn a hole in my heart so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Being a big fan of Japanese culture, did you ever go to Tokyo back in the day?
I just left Tokyo 2 weeks ago. Oh, wow. I was out there with Jay-Z. We were there for about a week and I stayed an extra 10 days.
I saw that. He was with Verdi, I think. And
Yeah. We were all hanging out. It was good.
Also, I feel like you had the Japan connection early because you were one of the first people to bring Ebisu on the scene, right?
Somebody did their research. Yeah. I love sitting with informed, educated individuals. When I worked on the movie Belly with Hype Williams. You know, I went over to kind of, you know, the whole idea of the movie was to forecast hip hop 10 years, you know, from the time we were shooting it. And, you know, Ebisu's was one of those things that hadn't hit America yet. So when I brought him back over, it was really to pair that with like Echo and the iconic, you know, Rhino and then just like mixing the two worlds. It really made a statement. I had no idea that it would be. Would have the impact.
It was like the classic photos of Jay-Z wearing like the baggy Ebisu's.
Yeah, what about the one Ebisu jeans? You know it.
Yes.
Ebisu jeans cover Kick Game just like David Beckham.
On the song with Missy Elliott. Yeah. Ebisu jeans cover the rectum, Kick Game just like David Beckham.
There we go.
Speaking of Belly, though, I just want, have you seen these?
Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen these shoes yet?
No, I have not.
So this is a Joe Fresh Goods New Balance, but he did.
Inspired by Belly?
Yes. Yeah, he did a three-pack.
Oh, my God. They should be greasy.
So these are the
they're too dry to be from Belly. They're blue, but they're not.
So these are the Keishas. I didn't know if it was a shoe.
I did see that interview with Keisha. First of all, I love her. Yeah. Like, and she did give me a shout out, which is really sweet.
I didn't know if it was a shoe that you had seen, if you like had seen things that you know that you had done back that like designers are taking now to inspire their sneakers. And it's kind of just like this big loop of culture, you know?
I'm really always humbled by it all. I remember when, you know, there was just a recent collaboration with Belly and Apparel. Was at Dover Street. I think it was... A Supreme had did a whole collaboration and just like kind of seeing that these iconic moments are still very relevant really made me feel like I did something right in my life creatively. So it was really flattering.
A thing or two.
Yeah, it was really it was really cool. And that's even cooler to see that. That's awesome.
I'm just doing Air Jordan 3's White Cement today.
That's a big deal.
He never really wears
Jordans.
We don't see this often.
Oh, really? Are you a, what kind of sneaker guy are you?
I usually do like a New Balance.
Oh, like a dad shoe.
Yeah. That's kind of my style. But yeah, so we decided to break these out.
Did you break these out for me?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Don't ask about the short shorts.
It's a very sexy kind of, I could wear a suit with shoe.
Yeah.
So I think that you wanted to dress up for me, so I appreciate you.
Thank you. You're putting all the effort in. Can we go back to F1? I promise I'm past my selfish moments of like talking about F1 every time when it's not totally necessary. But It is interesting to hear you talk about it. And we were talking about Bjorn Golden was there this past weekend. I know you work with Bjorn Golden at Puma. Jay-Z introduced you. I was trying to chase him down in Miami. Maybe you can connect us. But
catch him on
career,
the ski slopes. He's a slippery one.
Can you talk about meeting Bjorn Golden at Puma?
The first introduction was made by Jay-Z, and it was quite quick. It was at the opening of the flagship store. Mm-hmm. And he said, Jay told him that we were going to bring June in, and he told him what I was responsible for with his, visually with his career and just culture in general. It was the best intro probably I've ever heard of, awesome. Of any artist I've ever worked with. And then it just from there, it went straight to, legal, went to paper.
Yeah, nice.
It was that simple. We sat down at the table and we talked about launching women's basketball. Mm-hmm. And at first, we didn't necessarily know what role I was going to play. It was supposed to be really just kind of internal facing, but it changed as I developed the collection and I developed the storytelling of the whole, how were we going to launch women's basketball? It was not a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jordan was doing their thing. It wasn't like, we were really ahead of the curb
it's like, it's a big thing with Sabrina, Nike, Caitlin Clark.
I saw it coming. Yeah,
Asia Wilson, really supposedly going to get a shoe.
Great signees. Didn't you have Skylar Diggins?
We have Skylar Diggins. She was there before I was there.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we had some really great female assets, but they were living in the men's world. Mm-hmm. So, and Breonna Stewart, we launched the first women's basketball sneaker in 10 years or.
What was that like working with her?
Brianna's amazing. I mean, she's super, collaborative, super intuitive. I mean, it's her sport. I leaned in a lot with these athletes. For me, my sport is, style and design. So they know performance better than anything. And I really wanted to create like certain things that were important to them, like that sports bra that really works for a female athlete.
Right.
But then all the stylistic stuff, just collaborating with what their performance needs are and what the street style needs were, was a great collaboration. And I think the fact that we spoke to the launch in that way, I mean, like we 20 something piece collection. It wasn't like a 6-piece capsule.
Right.
We went high court, super hard, the sneaker options. We did three, we launched 3 sneakers in conjunction with that. I mean, that's a huge commitment, I think, for a brand to make that for something that we didn't really know what it was and that I worked on over the pandemic.
Yeah.
So my AI really helped out, in developing that, my authentic intelligence.
Important distinction.
Yes, because authentically I had to really kind of create product that was authentic to the female player and also to the female consumer. Because it wasn't just about the girl on the court, but what about the girl off the court that's going to show up to the games? And for those guys, there were some really great gender-neutral pieces that the guys were rocking at the All-Star games pairing back with the sneakers and disrupting things with I did this really super wild camouflage orange and black kick that was just obnoxious and really performed well. And we did it for guys and girls. So it was a lot of fun.
June, you mentioned obviously Jay-Z, you're there, you make the suit for his first music video. Mm-hmm. But in that era, I imagine that you had to be around DJ Clark Kent as well. I mean, this is a sneaker show.
Clark,
Clark, sneaker god himself. Do you have any stories about Clark just being sneaker nuts back in the day?
Clark was always fresh, guy that pulled out a toothbrush out of his back pocket to keep him clean. Mm,
yeah.
Was that
the first time you saw that from Clark?
I mean, those guys were really serious back then about sneakers. I mean, it's like, it's a culture. It was their dress shoe. You spit shine it like you would. And then let's keep in mind, it was a lot of money to purchase a sneaker if you're coming up and, I know for me growing up in the Bronx, my mom bought me a designer sneaker. It was luxury.
Yeah.
So I think culturally when, we had a really polished sneaker that wasn't like a skip or, something like that, you really protected it and respected it. And Clark was one of those guys.
When him and Jay were doing like the whole cleaning out the white on white Air Force Ones at the stores, where they were like, "Hey June, do you want some pairs too?" Were they like getting you your size as well?
No one ever. Those boys is a boys' club. It's all guys for themselves.
Any real chases of sneakers? Nowadays you can't get the ones that are like sought after. But back in the day, do you remember any stores?
I got to tell you a fun fact.
Okay.
I was a shoe surgeon before a shoe surgeon was a thing.
Okay.
Because with every Missy Elliott look I designed or Busta Rhymes look I designed, I wanted to, I was all about the hookup. Mm-hmm. So I would literally customize them.
Okay.
To work back with, you know, the outfit.
Yeah. So you would like cut apart fabric.
Oh yeah. And,
like...
I would take them to my cobbler. I'd be like, I need, you know, take this off, put this, I'd take soles off. I would literally wrap Timberlands in like matching fabric to Buster's like robes and turbans and Missy Elliott. If I was, you know, I designed her like this one year for the MTV Awards. We got really bad reviews for it, but it's okay. It's what happens when you, it's like worst dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like worst. We did this whole plaid, like kilty, like, you know, matching like Adidas look, and I remixed it. And then, you know, took the fabric from the outfit and put it on the sneaker. And, you know, they were like, worst dress. And then, season later, it was on the runways of Galliano.
There we go.
They were taking notes.
Yeah, you know, it was like a thing. Golf was a thing. It was like, you know, so urban street culture, you know, I think that we, because we don't ask for permission and we take creative license all the time, whether it's lyrically or, you know, stylistically, these things will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just part of course. So I didn't feel a way.
Did you ever do any of the Dapper Dan style flips in that era, putting the Gucci logos on a pair of Tims? Or
that I didn't do. It was really cool to watch, but that was definitely Dap's thing.
Yeah.
I think I was on my own other, I was on a whole other mission.
For sure.
So I think we all had corners. So, you know, Dap's block was, you know, Harlem. And then I have my own block over here, you know, so I think we were conquering it, you know, from different spaces and places.
What was it like for you seeing when Virgil actually did the Louis Vuitton Air Force Ones that were kind of, you know, based off the work that the Dapper Dan and that you were doing early on? And
Virgil was a savant.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, in our lifetime, he was just one of those. But very complimentary of my contribution and shared with me what he thought of my work and how it had inspired him and how he was. And that really meant a lot to me because he was the generation now that was really making a huge impact. And, you know, that's what it's about, that you can continuously be relevant, make change, create impact in spaces that allow us to be seen globally. Mm-hmm. And what he had done in the world of high fashion was such an important part of the next chapter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As you can see with what's happening with Pharrell.
Yes.
It all is, and with Tyler the Creator, it's like all playing out, you know? So whoever has to carry the torch, you know, I am, you know, a champion for that. I stood on shoulders and, you know, and to see, like, you know, my brother's winning makes me, gives me great pride. I that was probably one of the most exciting collaborations, and just like that, those drops were always like,
yes.
I used to get anxiety with those drops and like the phone calls I would get, I, you know, like getting ahead of it or who's knowing that I had to, you know, it was calling. So it's like, you know, it's like, that was like, it was like literally some politics. Yeah. Some, it was
politics as usual.
Oh my goodness, the covertness. But thank God I had his phone number. So it's like, you know, certain people you just want to, you have to get them on, you have to keep them on speed dial because those drops were insane. I mean, remember the Kanye and Louis Vuitton drops?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, the sneakers, I have like YouTube videos of me like running with a lint brush in the streets. Like, I'm on the, you know, it's like so much fun. And I have those in storage, a pair of those. I also have the Marc Jacobs, Stephen Sprouse Vuitton in my vault. I got some collectibles.
Sounds like it. How did you get your hands on the Kanye Louis Vuitton joints?
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
If I had a glove, I would slap you right there. we need the sound effect.
But that was a big, that was such a moment. And like,
And early on too, like in like the timeline of everything, you know?
I mean, listen, I had the best calling card, you know, the best calling card was, you know, my partner in crime. Mm-hmm. We all know who I was attached to. And it was like, you're not going to say no to him.
How quick though? Hold on. How quick is the yes? Instant yes?
I mean, come on.
Wait, has anyone ever told you no?
No.
and he'll put in the call.
Jay-Z.
Yes.
I'll say it just so we have it.
He'll put in the call right
away. I hate name dropping. It's so
easy. I'll do it for you.
He'll put in the call right away. LV Don's, just come on down.
Yeah.
That was a fun time.
Yeah.
To me, that the shoe with the pink sole on it is just like one of my favorite, like, high fashion shoes I've ever seen.
It's like, listen, I always say, like, you can have a sneaker worth a Birkin bag, you know, you can, did I just do a rhyme? Yeah, you know, it's like, did I just spit something that could be like a lyric?
No big deal.
I think my next life I'm going to be like a lyricist.
Don't even ask me how.
I put looks to the lyrics.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So why not?
The Kanye West Louis Vuitton moment is so cool too, because it's this era where the European houses are starting to embrace yes. Black American design and yeah. starting to say, yes, we're ready to work with you. Was it hard for you when you were first doing costume design to get the European houses to understand? Did you aspire to have them understand?
Well, that the only way we could get their attention at the time was to be rogue and brazen and build it ourselves, mm-hmm. tell the story. I was fortunate enough to have like really over the top muses. Like, you think about a Missy Elliott, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. think about a Busta Rhymes. These are like, you know, you think about like a Nas, even yeah. like, to be honest, you know, DMX.
Yeah.
You know, like, these are like really iconic figures. Jay-Z, hands down. On a whole other like level, because what, you know, if you think about his persona, is so significantly different from the over the top costumes yeah. that Missy and Buster did. But I think being able to attack it from different yeah. levels really gave me a range and a reach. So I was really fortunate enough for that. But that's how we got their attention. We were, you know, creating really provocative imagery. You know,
did they understand Williams. It? Were they interested in participating?
Oh, they more than understood it. It's couture. You yeah. know, they wanted to know where it was being built, where it was coming from. And I was like Edna from The Incredibles. I was in the lab, like, you know, like we were doing like 4 music videos a month. Wow. Now do the math.
The Incredibles.
That's a
Edith.
Lot. I was Edith. Edith Head is one of my.
Let's go.
Yeah.
The goat.
Yeah, she's. So, you know, I literally, when I started in the industry, I was like, you know, I approached it as a costume designer because I studied theater and arts and I wanted to build the characters. And when you think about the characters that you're seeing now in today's pop culture, you know, if you approach the theatrics that you're seeing at Coachella and the mm-hmm. theatrics that you're seeing, still music videos are not as popular as they used to be, mm-hmm. but we still admire them when we see them. They all come from the building of, you know, that character.
The image.
Yeah, the yeah. image, and really helping that artist just kind of separate their personal personas from the artistic personas. It really allows you, your creative imagination to expand. So, you know, I've always, you know, loved comic books and, mm-hmm. you know, I think I probably, you know, created a couple comic books in my yeah. career.
How frustrating was it though, then, like, you know, putting artists and brands, etc., like early on in the rap videos when like the logos mm-hmm. get blurred out?
I mean, by the time that happened, I wasn't never really a huge fan of that. I mean, I understand marketing and enterprising.
Not
and
a
IP.
Fan of wearing the big logos or not a fan of MTV blurring out the logos?
Of the wearing the big logos, I just okay. knew what it was. It was advertising and it was free advertising. Mm. And I've always thought about like, you know, just the IP in general. But for artists, it meant a lot. It meant that, you know, that it was a sign of success.
Yeah.
That you were able to, you know, afford something or you were able to represent something that wasn't marketed towards you. And you kind of felt like you were like a Robin Hood robbing from the rich and, you know, showing
yeah,
that,
sampling.
You know. Yeah, sampling. So I get it, yeah. but I knew that it wasn't, that the blurring was coming.
Because okay. we always talk about the Pharrell yeah. sneaker moment when he has the ice creams on, he points down and he blurs them out like he did it intentionally.
Let's go
though.
Further back and yeah. let's talk about the FUBU Gap moment.
Yeah. yeah.
When you're looking at a Gap campaign
yes.
with a FUBU hat.
LL Cool J, yeah. yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Amazing.
So
Trojan
I was
horse.
Like, from I used to be the marketing director at Cross Colors and Carl Canai. Another fun fact a lot of mm-hmm. people don't know. I don't talk about it a lot. But very important part of my career path was being on that side of the track and understanding like marketing and placement and how important it was, you know, culturally that, you know, brands like that, the impact the brands like that were going to have on people of color in streetwear culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was on the backside of that, on the marketing side. And it really informed a lot and helped me to understand how important like that IP, like, you know, understanding
the value,
like, the value of yeah. that, you know, and you wouldn't understand the value of that initially if you didn't understand marketing. Right.
Yeah.
So
in terms of like footwear space, and I know that you were big into visiting archives
mm-hmm.
and what was it like, the Puma archive, but what other archives? Yeah. Just describe like that, what that was like and how.
Going into the Puma archive was like.
That's when you need your gloves.
It was like Back to the Future. Yeah. You really do. I mean, because you know, even when you see like A Fear of God, when you see
Jerry
go into the archive, yeah. you know, like it's kind of like respect, right? It's mm-hmm. like Back to the Future. You go in knowing that it's a privilege to kind of see other art, what other artists before you have kind of created and how you can reimagine it. Because let's be honest, design is about reimagining something. Yeah. We're not inventing anything at this point. We're reimagining it. And that's what design really is. And when you walk into those vaults and you're looking at like Jill Sander collabs, when you're thinking about like those early high fashion collaborations with these brands that people had forgotten about. You almost forgot that, you know, Puma had did a collaboration with like Jill Sander. And you're like, when did this happen?
Right.
I remember it because I remember how like important it was, like a girl who loved high fashion. And then for like a sneaker cult, you know, a sneaker company, a performance brand to do something like that in fashion, I was like, oh, this is happening.
I think Puma and Adidas are so cool too, like archives wise, just because on like a timeline, those brands are just so much older than Nike. So it's like the Nike history, it starts in the 70s, but it's really like in the 80s, you know, where it's like those brands go back to the 40s, 50s, 60s, and you just see all these odd things that just don't exist or you wouldn't even like your mind wouldn't go to.
Yeah. When I did my co-branded collaboration with Puma, it was Keeping Score, and I went and I bought back the Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
And I just thought that, you know, like this basketball, like look like Dunk came before the Dunk. And I was just like one of the early, you know, arbiters of that. And I just wanted to, allow me to reintroduce myself moment for the brand. You know, I thought it was really fun. They performed extremely well. It was very telling that people really like, you know, like this was like a really popular sneaker. But think about the story behind it. Ralph Sampson was like, that's an OG.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to kind of bring it back into this female space and representing women in general and amplifying their voices was probably the highlight of my time at Puma, being able to launch a category that was kind of like underdog in a sense.
Yeah.
And then now to see the success of women's basketball that is happening now in the moment.
Totally.
You really feel like we were really ahead of it. We forecasted it. We put it into fruition. You know, we believed in it. And I think the consistency and also the allies, the male allies that really stood behind us and really believed in it too, made a difference. So I have to, you know, definitely to all you gentlemen here, you know, thank you for, you know, really supporting us as women in on this journey.
And you were part of a landmark women's sneaker collaboration 20 years before that, Missy Elliott's deal at Adidas. Can you talk about how that
came to be? The Respect Me was great. I've been talking about it a lot recently just because my time at Puma, people thought that was my first creative director role. And I said, no, I was like, actually, you know, was, you know, involved with Missy and her Respect Me collection with Adidas. So different time completely in terms of the process. From it's like 15 years in between, you know, or 10, 15 years in between. So it was definitely a different time on how we ideated and we, you know, things came about. But I think the results were pretty much the same. And it was really important for Missy as an artist to be able to just a co-branding opportunity with a global brand like Adidas was groundbreaking.
Her Adidas looks are so iconic.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, I literally was remixing. Like Adidas was like, okay, let's do something. Cause I had flipped it and reversed it so many times. And I had taken creative privilege with their IP so many times. Always respecting the integrity of the mark and, you know, the sign off. But they were flattered, to say the least, and it's flattered enough to give us a, you know, a partnership. So it all really worked out.
And she was so authentic, too. I think there was, like, on MTV Cribs where she had, like, the bed with, like, the big trunk that opened up. And there was, like, the shoebox with the...
Missy is a sneaker-holic. She really should be sitting here.
We've been trying for years.
I'm going to have to call her.
Yeah, we need that.
This is what I just did.
Thousands of pairs, right?
No. You have to talk to Missy.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like, it's out of this world. Tour plugging right now.
Yeah.
It is definitely out of this world. Yeah. I've never met a girl with that many sneakers. Yeah.
One thing that I love, kind of like adjacent, you are always big into tracksuits. And I feel like tracksuits never went out of style, but like now tracksuits with sneakers are like a very big thing, especially like, but talk about the love of like remixing those and then just honestly how good they look with
not even
sneakers.
Like remixing them. I was like I was redesigning them in luxury fabrics. So the idea of like, you know, that staple classic, either, you know, three stripe or that one classic, you know, Puma stripe. We were doing this back in early, you know, in 2000s where, you know, Missy's first video, Rain, she was on top of the hill in the leather tracksuit.
Yeah.
So you know, I just love the idea of designing something that was luxury in an athletic silhouette.
It's the bet.
Was like, for me, I was like, just thinking of the future of sportswear and future of like fashion in this space. And it's luxury now when you think about all the big high fashion brands that are doing it, from Valentino to Balenciaga to, you know, it's really nice.
All those Missy Elliott looks, the big puffy one too. I mean, come on.
The blow-up suit has been reimagined so many times and so many, you know, fashion houses. It's, you know, I always, and also in the costume houses too. It's like, you know,
it's exciting too, it's just to tie it back to what you were saying about Virgil, is like, I think it's rare that people get to see their legacy in action, because a lot of times you don't see the influence you've had until you're gone. And then people in successive generations pick up that work and reinterpret what you did. But you're seeing it in real time.
Oh, you're making
me emotional.
Whether
it's Virgil or people riffing on the Missy work, it's out there.
Yeah, that's a real powerful statement, because when you think about what your legacy is going to be, but when you're actually fortunate enough to be alive to see it, and unfortunate for Virgil, I can only, you know, just imagine that his family and, you know, everyone that was close to him, you know, can really feel his presence every day as people continue to carry out what he really championed for. And it's happening, you know, it's happening in real life. But I think we all owe it to each other.
Yeah.
I knew that I had a bigger responsibility coming up, that there was this path I had to clear. And, you know, I knew that it was bigger than me. And I never put myself, you know, first when it came to my, you know, creatively. The art came first, and I think it paid off.
Yeah. How many pairs of Timberlands do you think you've purchased in your lifetime, either for yourself or others? Total. In the 90s alone.
1,000?
Wow.
Several thousands, right? Yeah.
Several thousands is a stretch. I would own the company.
I remember this working, actually, when my first retail job coming out of high school was at Timberland. My mom worked there for like 15 years. Oh. But how annoying was it, you know, because you're buying a lot of Timberlands, but I feel like sometimes the boots just never matched up, you know, where it's like
they were like all different.
It's like one's like a slightly different shade than the other one, and it was like people would be like, no, let me take three pairs, and they would try to like
started covering them
like,
or like painting them and like, you know, just like, you know, remixing them. But Butters were like, you know, like that's like a classic, like it's as classic as like you know that shoe that you it's like a sock. It became like the urban sock and was urban legend. And a Tim, you think about Bonnie and Clyde, you know, that music video that we did in Mexico. It was like running from the cartel.
Yeah.
Actually.
Seeing those Tims. It felt like it. Yeah, we were on the run. It was like on the run. It's like on the run before we were on the run.
There we go.
Yeah. But that music video was like, you know, just seeing those Timberlands and when like, you know, seeing like when those two got married, when J&B, you know, and seeing the two worlds come together.
Manolo Blahnik.
There was something about it, right? It was like, it was sexy.
Yeah.
And it was like dangerous. It was like every girl, like, you know, you wanted like, you wanted your girl to have a pair of Tims. If you never imagined like that tomboy sexy moment happening, just like that. Yeah.
What do you remember about the "I may wear black for a year straight" moment?
Oh, everything.
What? I just remember that.
I remember like, "I may wear." We did.
Yeah. So
like, no, maybe like, about it.
He's remember, still doing it.
I am, but I just remember.
Are you down with that?
I just remember still carrying it on. I just remember getting off the train at Penn Station and coming to Complex, walking to Complex, and I was just like. That around that time and just playing DOA and then that line sticking out nonstop. But what do you remember about that? And like it had real effects.
Yeah, listen, I had no objections to it. It's very iconic. When you think about also going back to Japanese culture, Yoji Miyamoto and, you know, Komnigasan, that was a color palette.
Yeah.
And no one questioned it. And, you know, it's like, an icon was made off of wearing all black. it was like, that was the uniform.
Yeah.
And we did it in so many storytelling ways and just like, I didn't mind it. It was like a lot of fun, you know?
And I love you bring up Combe because the Combe de Garcon Nikes still like, yeah, there's some white colorways, but still look at this. Black. All black, matte black, matte black.
And sexy and high fashion and classic. And, and versatile.
You had to know the change was coming, though, because there's this history of Jay-Z saying stuff in rap songs and it becoming canon and everybody follows suit. The one I think of the most is I don't wear jerseys. I'm 30 plus. Do you remember that changeover?
He is the author of his life. So, yeah, absolutely. His story has been played out, you know, visually, lyrically, like I said, I put looks to the lyrics.
How much do you think artists are sometimes like beholden by name dropping something? Like I remember when Kendrick had said, I'm only wearing Nike Cortez from here on out. And then I'd interviewed him 6 months later and he had a Reebok deal. And it's like, oh, wait, I don't think he was excited. I don't think he was too excited about, you know, getting that question, but
it's the power of our culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is affirmation that, that someone could say one thing and it could happen.
Yep.
And that's influence.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, maybe it's hard to be unbiased with your clientele, but who's the best dressed rapper right now? Do you have any thoughts? Is this too spicy?
Whose style do you really?
I mean, in my opinion, classic, timeless, effortless does not even like no stylist mm-hmm. energy. It's Hov.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taken out of the equation.
Yeah.
Because like for our audience, I feel like maybe sometimes skews younger. It was like anything Travis Scott wore, it was just like instantly
cute.
Like.
Yeah, he's cute.
Tyler. But
like,
Rocky.
I'm just like, I'm thinking about like, here is what the challenge is, that you can be visually appealing, culturally relevant at any age.
Mm-hmm.
And I give credit to those who can.
Yeah.
And I have to give credit to him because I don't look at him and see age. I see swag.
Mm.
And swag does not have an age. And that is something to take away for all those young cats right now, you know, the
right.
Travis,
it's easy
the
enough
Tyler.
To be cool when you're
those
in your
great.
20s
yeah,
or in your 30s.
Those,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Like you're trending. I see your persona. I see your swag. I see that you love fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But style.
Timeless.
That's the voice is timeless.
Mm.
That kind of style to me, like when it's not so effortless, that like you have on a t-shirt and you're like, you're so cool. That to me is very, that's.
Yeah.
Were you excited to see him wear the S dots at the Super Bowl?
Oh, the Reeboks? Yeah, all day.
Yeah.
All day.
Another iconic one.
I love
so
that.
Many.
Yeah. There's and it's like, it's fun. Like, you know, that's what fashion is like, you know, that's what it's all about. And like, and keep people like guessing, and, you know, and keep people. And I love not being predictable. I mean, you just don't know, you know, where it's going to, what's next for us.
But how big was it for you when those shoes first came out?
How big was it for Jay?
Yeah.
Like, it was his name. It was S. Doc Carter. I'm June Ambrose. But it was great for him.
Yeah.
For sure. I think I'll get excited when it says J. Dot Ambrose.
Yeah.
Do you feel like just in your history in the business that you can see a moment when sneakers shifted and became less stigmatized and you could wear them in more places and it was more acceptable to be in sneakers all the time?
Right.
I think young people take this for granted sometimes that there were decades that you couldn't wear a sneaker everywhere.
That's true. And now, like, you know, like even high fashion houses, like a sneaker is like what you see on the runway.
Yeah.
It's like, or they're doing collaborations with sneaker brands for the runway.
Right. There was a time when that was novel or not even thought of.
Not a thing. Yeah. It's like if you're, you know, if you're Ferragamo, you're wearing a shoe.
Yeah.
But you're wearing an Oxford or whatever. So it's really nice to kind of see, like, even like this was happening in the house of Gucci, they're doing basketball sneakers and like, you know, it's like so many, even Fendi, like all the big houses are like Celine. And
when did that change, do you think? Is there a specific moment, or do you think it's gradual?
I think over the last decade,
yeah.
you know, 10 years, over the last 10 years, you kind of really seen it.
Yeah.
What do you think about classics that have stood the test of time and are like more popping than ever, like the Prada America's Cup sneaker? What do you think about a shoe like that, an iconic silhouette?
What do I think about it in which way?
Like how it's like transcended.
How it's transcended?
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's style.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you can, like, if you can influence, you know, multi-generations, like that's, for me, that's always my goal, that I can create art that has a multi-generational like impact or reach.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that ageism is like the death of most creative and artists when they count you out and then you got to go and drop kick 20 bars or whatever just to kind of remind people where it started.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, that's what I have to do stylistically sometimes, is just remind. It's like, you know, it's a battle. It's the art of the, you know, the art of the battle.
I think that shoe's interesting though, Prada America's Cup, because you mentioned, you know, there's a time where you couldn't wear sneakers everywhere. It's like you go to the club and it's like you can't get
in. You couldn't get in.
But I feel like a lot of people say the Prada America's Cup was like the one shoe in that period where it's like, oh, but you can wear Pradas and get in.
Yeah, yeah, You are 100% right.
Wear them anywhere.
Yeah, 100% right. And it just reminds, you know, it just depends on how that trouser drops over that, you know, whether, and the height, it has to be the right silhouette. Mm-hmm.
How
too.
Important is that?
Oh, so important. Like, you know, the Uptowns, if they're too chunky, like I don't love an Uptown with a suit.
Okay.
I think they're way too chunky. Mm-hmm. I think the break on the pants becomes very sloppy in a very unauthentic way. I think that you have to think about silhouette the way you think about a female form. And men don't think about it as much as women, but you should, because it does translate the same.
These are important lessons. Yes. These are the. I feel like you should be charging for this right now. I'm happy to get it for free, though.
We can do that.
Put it on a Patreon.
We could put that soundbite in a special click here, and then we could do like a rev share.
There we go.
Okay, complex.
First Patreon episode.
Let's rewrite the contract. Right? Yeah.
Are there any shoes you would call your favorite? Any sneakers that really stand out?
Just like classics.
Yeah, personal for you. I mean, we know the iconic ones in Uptown. Personal. Superstars and things like
for
that.
For me, I find myself, I love like, you know, like I'm a retro girl, and mm-hmm. I do love like a Converse-y, you mm-hmm. know, I like a retro. Yeah. I love a classic like Samba.
Yeah.
You know, I love like, you know, I love all the old school. Again, these are all silhouettes that look really good with like slacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That play really throw cute with skirts on. And stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, Nike, I'm whenever I want to like hang out with my like, you know, soon to be 20-year-old daughter, if I have like a fresh pair of Dunks on, I'm like the coolest, most relevant mom. Nice.
Do you have to dress up when you're hanging out with her? You feel like you got to...
I mean, we share each other's clothes. I'm like a little, I still dress like a little boy. I'm still like, you know, I'm still young. Like, I don't subscribe to like age and stuff. I'm just June. And my style and spirit and personality is so like bubbly and like young.
Do you love to see the Sambas all over the streets now?
I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
So big.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
You mentioned, you know, what sneakers you kind of can and can't wear a suit. I feel like you'd be a good person to kind of end the age-old debate. I feel like one of the most iconic sneakerhead sneakers to wear with formal wear is the Air Jordan 11 at prom.
With patent leather,
with
right?
With the tuxedo. Is that June approved, or is that... You should go dress shoes.
It's the... No, thinking. I love when... To me, no, I love when fashion is disrupted in that mm-hmm. way. And I love that... Young people are making things their own, and that's mm-hmm. what it's about. That freedom of creativity is so important, and I would never take that away with an opinion of like what's a fashion faux pas.
Yeah,
that's why I speak to silhouette. Mm-hmm. So just note, if you're going to do that, pay attention to the juxtaposition of how that sneaker is fitting. But again, like, you know, teenagers and young people, they're so like, they don't ask for permission.
Yeah, either. Which is so good.
I would never criticize that energy at all, because I'm about that life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna leave it there.
Last thing I wanted to ask you before we get out of here, I want to take it back to kind of the beginning.
Oh my God, it's almost over.
we can keep hanging out if you want.
No, it's okay.
I just feel like the timelines line up a little bit. So I got to ask, at Talented Unlimited in high school, were you there the same time as Mos Def, as Yassine Bey? Yes, did you know him in high school?
We studied theater together.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. I figured you were both theater kids.
Yeah, we were both drama teacher. That's amazing. Mr. Friedman was our drama teacher.
Wow.
He was a year under me, but like he came in like he was 2 years over us. He is such an incredible... Dante Bazet, mm-hmm. Mos Def now, and then
Yassine Bey.
What's the name? Yassine Bey. I love all the names. I love all the iterations of him. Yeah. Yeah, we go back. And so...
Are you still in touch?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
I ran into him recently in Milan with his daughter, and I was with my son, so it was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
So cool. We're like all grown up now, but we both look like we were still in high school.
One of the first artists ended up working with Louis Vuitton with the Muhammad Ali campaigns that
too. Oh yeah. Wow. You just reminded me of that.
It's all
totally
connected.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good receipt. That's a good receipt.
Obviously, always so many projects. Anything that before we get out of here, you want to focus on in the upcoming one that you're excited about that you may not be able to say or you can say? Or
I mean, listen, I think by the time this drops, you know, hopefully you guys would be looking at Missy Elliott's tour with Busta mm-hmm. Rhymes and Ciara and being and having some fun going down memory lane and hoping that I did something that was that would inspire.
Yeah, I'm going.
We're pulling up.
I'm going.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of fun with this one.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Thank you so much for giving us your time. So much history. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. This has been the Complex Sneaker Show. We hope everyone has a good weekend. We actually will be off for the next 2 weeks, so binge some old episodes. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Our producer is Jillian Hardman Webb. Our supervising producer is David Matthews. Audio editing done by Haley Choi. Research and graphics from Sean Villavicencio. The Complex Sneaker Show is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.